Jovan Buha! Buha!
Yo, yo! I'm Jovan Buha, NBA reporter and analyst for Buha's Block, and welcome to another episode. On today's show, we're going to be talking Quentin Grimes with Tony Jones of The Athletic. My former colleague covers the Jazz and the Sixers. We're going to be talking Quentin Grimes' fit with the Lakers, playing off of Luka and Austin, his defensive capabilities, and much more. Let's get into it. While a ton of attention has been paid to the price that the Lakers paid and the investment they're making in Walker Kessler, I think you could arguably make a case that they're making as big of an investment in Quentin Grimes, who is now the fourth highest paid player on the team. They are entrusting him with a starting spot. And right now they are viewing him as their top point of attack defender slash wing stopper and the number three option on a team with title aspirations. My opening question to you, Tony, is he ready for that role?
That's a really interesting question because he didn't have that kind of role in Philadelphia. Last year, I thought he was more like the sixth option or you know, at best, the fifth option. He can guard. That's one of the best things that I like about Quentin. He can really guard. I thought he had a pretty big role in changing that series between Philadelphia and Boston with his point of attack defense on Jaylen Brown. And, you know, I think the one thing that I really like about him is he can guard up. So he can guard guys bigger than him as well. And he can guard guys smaller than him. So he can guard point guards. He can stay in front of two guards and he's strong enough to deal with small forwards. You know, I think the thing that will help him is that he has experience playing with Luka Doncic and knows how to play off of him. I think Luka mutes Quentin's weaknesses. I think Quentin's biggest weakness is his tendency to over dribble. And he's just not going to have the ball to dribble when Luka Doncic is on the floor. So,
true.
You know, when he's, you know, taking spot up jump shots and attacking closeouts, one or two dribbles and exploding to the basket, he's an effective offensive player. When he's got to dribble more than two times and he's trying to create for himself and he's trying to create for others, that's when it becomes an adventure for him. So he has to stay away from that. But if he's on the floor with Luka Doncic, he's going straight to the corner or he's going straight to the opposite wing and he's waiting for the ball to come to him. And that's when he can be effective. You want Quentin Grimes trying to make 40% of his threes, attacking closeouts, going and trying to dunk on people in the lane and getting out in the transition and exploding the finishes in transition, because that's what he can do and that's what he can do well. And I think that he did that pretty well in Dallas two years ago, which is why, you know, Philly really wanted him. And he had that, you know, that insanity run towards the end of that first season when he was with Philadelphia where everybody else was hurt. So he was putting up 40 pieces. That's not him. In a high leverage situation, you know, he's 15 points, 5 or 6 rebounds, 3 or 4 assists, really good defense, you know, a really, you know, solid 3-and-D role player. And I think that that's the player that the Lakers think they're getting when they signed him. And I think that that's what he can do. And I think that he can do it at a high level.
Do you think he is better suited in a six-man type role, or do you think the Lakers slotting him as a starter and, again, probably the number three option offensively overall, but also in that starting group behind Luka and Austin and like the primary defensive guy, is that an appropriate slotting of him?
No, you don't want him in a six-man role with this Lakers team, because then that means he'll have to dribble. You don't want him to dribble. So Colin Sexton can dribble. Yes. Yeah. Colin Sexton should be your sixth man, because Colin Sexton is going to be able to come out on the floor 15, 20 minutes a game and he's going to be able to create. That he's the perfect six man for what they want. What they want for Quentin, he's perfect, absolutely perfect with Luka, because I think that he, you know, a lot like Walker Kessler, he's going to help Luka and Austin defensively, because he's going to take that whoever the he's going to take whoever that perimeter guy is, that number one perimeter guy. And because he can guard up or down, it kind of doesn't matter whether that perimeter guy is a one or two or a three. So, you know, Quentin's going to provide real value there, and real value in terms of, you know, just being able to fit with that starting lineup, because most of the creation, 90% of that creation is going to be done by Luka and Austin. And so you want guys who can spot up and make shots. So you want Quentin on one side, and you want, is it going to be Mamu at the four?
It's up for debate right now. I think it might be a wing. I mean, there's still a chance they land Jonathan Kuminga, PJ Washington, someone like that. But if it's the current group, I think it's actually maybe between Jake LaRavia, Zaire Williams, Matisse Thybulle, and they go a little smaller, but prioritize the defensive side. Because yeah, Mamu, like the Luka Mamu Kessler, I just think is too slow of a front court.
Yeah. Well, if they somehow get PJ Washington, and you know, I don't know how they do it, but if they somehow get PJ Washington, then the ceiling of this group goes way up, in my opinion. Because PJ's probably the perfect power forward to play with Luka. And, you know, and Quentin's a pretty good small forward to play with Luka as well. But, you know, be all as it may, you know, Quentin's a really good fit for Luka and Austin, because I think that, you know, he helps, you know, mask some of the flaws. So if you get one point of attack defender, plus you got Walker Kessler back there, you know, I think that's gonna really help. I think it'll help if, you know, the next person on the other side can also shoot. But I can definitely see where they're coming from. They need somebody who can defend as well.
Yeah, I think you need a couple perimeter defenders out there.
And that's why I like PJ Washington, because he can do both.
Same. That's why, yeah. Kuminga, I'm iffy on. See, depends on the price.
I'm not a Kuminga guy, because, you know, Kuminga's going to try to dribble, and he's going to try to create. And he doesn't want to stand in a corner and wait for the ball to come to him and then come down and defend. Like, he doesn't want to play that kind of basketball. So, you know, I know why people are, you know, so intrigued by Kuminga, because you just don't see that kind of physical skill set a lot. You know, you don't see 6'9", 230-pound guys who can, you know, run and jump like he does. But that's why he's going to keep getting chances. But if this were the Lakers and they landed Jonathan Kuminga, I'd be bringing him off the bench and playing him with Colin Sexton and just saying, hey, you guys go and create for 15, 20 minutes a night. And, you know, we'll get guys on the floor with Luka and Austin who, you know how to play with those guys.
The question is Jonathan Kuminga going to go for that? And it seems like he's looking for the bag and a starting role, which we'll see if he's able to land that in LA or somewhere else. But with Quentin Grimes, one of the things that stood out to me and watching some film on him was he will take some tough contested threes in a positive sense, because one of the knocks on the guys that he is replacing to some degree, Rui Hachimura and Luke Kennard, like those guys are better overall shooters than him from a percentage standpoint. Those are two of the best 3-point shooters in the league. But one of the things that the Lakers didn't love about those guys was their reluctance to take contested threes. And it would be, especially Luke Kennard, for as great of a shooter as he is, it'd be all right, if someone's closing out on me aggressively, I'm either going to, you know, try to start the blunder or just swing the ball. I'm not actually going to take the shot. where Grimes, at least on film, to what I watched from some of the playoff film, some of the film late in the season, he will take that shot and he's capable of making it. He is a high level spot up shooter. So just in terms of the volume and the aggression offensively from three, and he has some experience playing off of Luka previously, but also playing off of Maxi, playing off of Edgecombe, playing off of Embiid. So he's played off of stars before. What they need from that guy is basically just park yourself in the corner, park yourself on the wing, take a bunch of threes, attack closeouts. You mentioned that's the strength of his offensive game. Like, how do you see him fitting in within that? And also his acceptance of that, of not maybe dribbling as much or taking as many, you know, two pointers off of the dribble, unless it's directly at the rim.
I've seen Quentin win multiple games with shots. And I saw it last year. I saw him win a game. I forget it was who against who because there are 82 of them. But I saw him win a game with a shot. I saw him permanently swing one of the Boston games with a shot. I think it was game five. You know, Joel Embiid swung into him. He was against the clock. Knew he had to put it up, put it in. You know, so he's not afraid to shoot. And I really like that about Quentin. Sometimes he's a little too not afraid to shoot. But he'll, you know, he has a couple of ways to put up shots. You know, he's you know, good standstill, but he's also good one hard dribble to the left and pulling up. He's also good at that. And I think one thing that really helps him in contested in the clock situations, he has incredible lift on his jump shot. And he shoots and his release point is over his head. So when you combine his size, he's 6'5", and his athleticism, he's a great athlete. Really, really good vertical athlete. And you combine his lift and his release point, he gets a lot of shots up in contested situations over people. And he makes them. He's not going to make all of them, but he's going to make a good enough percentage of them that, like, oh my God, there's three on the clock. There's Quentin. Let's just give him the ball and let's see what he can do. And he'll make them. And, you know, he'll make some, he'll miss some. He'll make some down the stretch, he'll miss some down the stretch, but he will shoot them. And because of the fact that he will shoot them, that means that he's going to draw gravity to him. And that'll help, that will help Luka and will help Austin as well. Because one thing about Luke Kennard, and, you know, I'll take away the playoff run because that was a completely different Luke Kennard that I've ever seen in my life. But one thing about Luke Kennard, if Luke Kennard comes out and he's going to take three threes when he plays, when he gets into a game, if he misses two of his first three, he'll shut down for the remainder of the game and not shoot. If he makes two of his first three, he's going to keep shooting. Now, the Luke Kennard that we saw in the playoffs, I don't know if it was because he had to do that, but he kept shooting through some misses, and it turned in, and because he did, he turned into like a 25 point per game score. Like, he was insane. But, you know, the Luke Kennard that I remember from the Clippers and from early in the Laker run and from the Hawks, that was a Luke Kennard that was like, all right, unless I'm wide open, I'm not taking that shot. Rory kind of came out of his shell as well towards the end. But, you know, you're also right about him as well. Quentin doesn't care. He's going to shoot the ball. And if it's his shot to take, or if he feels like it's his shot to take, he's going to shoot it. And most of the time, that's good. Sometimes you got to rein it in. But I do think that, you know, Luka's got so much pull and, you know, can control so much of the offense that I think that it can rein in some of the weak spots of what Quentin does.
And to your earlier point, like, he's already shown that he can assume a larger role when the team is depleted. Yes. So if you have Austin or Luka out for a game or two, or even an extended stretch, he can't take on more of that offensive burden and drop 20, 22, 24 a night for like a certain period there. So I think that's another attractive part of his game. Final thing with Quinton, what's an under-discussed or underrated part of his game? Because you mentioned the defense. I think that really stands out to me of just like Grimes Island is a thing of you get him in ISO and good luck trying to get a good shot against him. I thought his defense against Jaylen Brown in that series was incredible. He also did a good job against Peyton Pritchard. But what do you think is a part of his game that maybe gets overlooked a bit?
I've mentioned it, but I don't think he doesn't get nearly enough credit for how good an athlete he is. Like, I mean, he's really a good athlete, especially in like short areas. His short area quickness is insane, and he legitimately
his screen navigation,
that's a really good point. Doesn't get screened defensively, especially when he's locked in. I didn't think his happiness scale was at a 10 in Philadelphia last year, but and I think that a lot of that was due to the fact that he was playing on a qualifying offer. You know, nothing to do with his teammates or anything. I just think like his contract situation, like I knew in February that he was not coming back to Philadelphia. So, you know, I didn't think that we saw a completely locked in Quinton defensively until the playoffs. And I thought he was incredible defensively in the playoffs. I thought he gave Jaylen Brown and Derek White and Peyton Pritchard so many issues in terms of those guys being able to get paint touches against him. He and Paul George were so incredible defensively, and I throw Kelly Oubre into that as well. You know, they played themselves to exhaustion to the point where those three kind of really had nothing left for the Knicks, which is one of the reasons why they got their teeth kicked in that series. But you know, Quinton is you know, in terms of short bursts, you know, he'll dunk on you in traffic. He plays above the rim, and you know, he doesn't really look like it because he's a quiet and unassuming guy. And then when you know he gets out there, he kind of surprises you with some of the things that he can do. So, you know, overall, I think it's a really good pickup for the Lakers. I think that, you know, in terms of what they need, in terms of being able to be somebody who can defend on the perimeter and keep people in front of them, I think the Lakers needed a lot of that, especially losing Marcus Smart. So, you know, I think Quinton is going to be able to provide a lot of that.
Tony, you are the man. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. No one has the insight into the Lakers' new additions quite like you. So you got a busy season ahead covering the Sixers, a lot of newsers. I've been there. A lot of newsers coming up. But appreciate you, man. It was great to see you. And outside of The Athletic and your X account, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Nah, man. It was just... you know, I'm on IG, T Jones at Athletic. It was great to get on here and chop it up with you, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate you, and appreciate you all for watching and listening. For those watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on channel notifications, and like and comment on this video. For those listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice, please be sure to follow, download, and leave a 5-star review. I'll be back soon. I'll talk to you then.